F1, number 23B.
I think it is worthwhile from time to time, when one has nothing else to do, to sit down and ask oneself, well, what does that mean? That my true being is a spiritual calculus of ideas. What has that then to do with the four horns, with the material calculation or the material view on men? How what the material man is, how he operates, what his past is, what his present is, what his future is, where he is coming from and where he is going to. And see, well, if God is spirit and man is his image and likeness, then man can only be a spiritual calculus of ideas. And I shouldn't anymore confound that with the material sense of man. Then he goes to soul and sees another picture of man, namely, he sees a man with a measuring line in his hand. With a measuring line in his hand, who goes out to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. See, it's a man with a measuring line that tries to measure things in a limited way, to see how limited Jerusalem is. More and more becomes a symbol of mortal manhood. You know how Ezekiel deals with Jerusalem as the mortal sense of manhood, and how then afterwards he sees Jerusalem as the true sense of as a calculus of man. Jesus, you see, dealt with Jerusalem when he said, I set my face on Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem he had to see that he could lay down the mortal sense of manhood and so make his demonstration of spirit man. Jerusalem becomes more and more, you see, a symbol of that mortal body. And so he went out to measure a man as a mortal body. And so the angel intervened. The Christ intervenes and comes and says, no, I can't let that do. I work and work on man's vision to the point where the angel said, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, without limitations. You can't limit or measure manhood according to a limited, finite, corporeal standard. Just let that go. The Lord will be unto her a wall of fire. The Lord is a wall, but the Lord is infinite. The Lord will be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is the glory of man, and not human abilities and human faculties are the glory of man. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord. So here we begin to see a further, wider view, man as limitless, and that breaks on our thought. Then he goes to principle and shows another sense of manhood, a false sense which has to be broken down, and a true sense which is rising up in consciousness. He first shows how Joshua, the high priest, was standing before the angel of the Lord, and that next to him, right next where we always are, when we stand before the presence of the Lord, we have a silly talker beside us. Satan's just standing at the right side and resisting everything. Just our personal sense just comes and is right on our right-hand side and resists everything. To accuse Joshua before God. Always and always personal sense, condemnation, self-condemnation comes in and accuses us of something. Never wants to let the true idea of man stand face to face before God. The accuser is always there. And so Joshua was standing there clothed with filthy garments. As long as we believe and have side by side with us the Satan, we have always filthy garments on, because the accuser will always tell us that we are no good. That everything about us is just filth, just mortal, just debased. And so the angel came and said, no, take away. You see, now comes the liberation. The angel comes again and changes that. We are all here, all in that transformation sense. take away the filthy garment from him. I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. The angel, the Christ, always comes at every moment, at every instant, under every circumstance, in every pressure, to us and says to each one of us constantly, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. The Christ always sanctifies us, calls us holy, and never pulls us down. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. With a change of raiment. If thou wilt walk in my ways, you see, the coming back, the turning back to principle, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house. See, like in Micah, at the point of principle, the crown is again being given on us. It says, you can rule as God rules. You can judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. And I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Then the true man is being born, which has the Savior, the King in himself. Is there no counselor in thee? See, the scientific sense of man is being born. For behold, the stone which that I have laid before Joshua, say laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Can you see how he depicts now this Joshua, just like a stone with seven eyes? That's what I always like. I always like to think as man as just a complete sevenfold scientific proposition of being. Then I think that's man. Then I can go to the Christ and see that this sevenfold scientific proposition has an ever operative calculus. That's man in this aspect of the Christ. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. See, how every time you see in the prophets, the moment he shows, if you turn in principle to the Lord and take the place of the Lord and look out from the Lord, from principle, that's the end of the story of evil. That's finished. Then all that has gone before is finished in one day, and then the newness of life can break in. And he shows that newness of life in the fifth day, how man in the newness of life is a never flow of grace. And I looked and behold, that's now the fifth, and I looked and behold, a golden candlestick with seven pipes. That's my note. He shows them the golden candlestick with seven pipes, and leading to seven lamps. A golden candlestick with seven pipes, leading to seven lamps, and then from both sides, olive tree with pipes leading the olive oil to the lamps, so that they always can burn. See, the olive trees are alive. The olive trees, they produce olives and olives and olives and the olive oil, and the olive oil constantly runs to the candlestick and the lights burn. It's an enormous sense of that ever flow of life as grace. That because God is life, life has an ever flow and always gives in a graceful way, without works of merits, just by grace, life. And he said, the word came unto the Lord unto Zerubbabel, and said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. He gives the sense of mercy and of grace, that touch which Paul takes then and makes the one of his main pillars of his teaching, that all is by grace and not by works. All is by grace. That life is so graceful that it gives and gives and gives and gives to us and makes that system of the sevenfold candlestick always alive and always alive and always alive and just going on and on. Thou, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. So you see how this symbol of the olive tree, as the ever flow of life, always inspiring the scientific sense of the candlestick within our consciousness, is just always coming as grace, grace, grace. And the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hand shall also finish it. Gives the sense that what God begins, he will also end. For who has despised the day of small things? Who has despised the days of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. He shows how really life is able to take the small things, the remnant, the least idea, the sheep, that shepherd boy of David, that little boy just looking after a few sheep. How life can take that idea and make it big. That it can finish everything that starts right, even if it's small. And we have always seen in our work that only when we begin small, and if we begin small and humble and tender, but love it and ponder it and nourish it and give to it all we can to give, that like an olive tree we give to this little idea all what we know about the candlestick and all our humility and everything, that can grow. And the moment we tried to start anything in a big way, it just didn't grow. Just didn't seem to have enough root out of which it could grow and stand. Then comes truth, and it shows man as the idea of truth, which brings down that concept that the mortal is a liar. That sense that God is true, but every mortal man a liar. And he saw a flying roll, a textbook. Now we come to the text of truth. He saw a flying roll, a text of truth. And this text of truth was the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. Because everyone that steals or swears shall be judged according to its contents. It shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely. You see how in a very clear way he tries to show how truth is just a curse on every error. That truth comes and brings down everything that wants to steal and to swear and to judge falsely and to be a thief and so on. And then he shows that Ephah. And in it are the transgressions of the whole earth. And he saw a woman as a type of mortal manhood sitting in it, and the angel said, "This is wickedness." The moment we have bottled up the true sense of manhood and say man is just bottled up in anything, in an effort, well, we have a wrong sense of manhood, a limited sense, a false sense of manhood. So, it's not... Did I say something wrong or... No. False sense of manhood. So, he could see that the only thing is to lift that false sense of manhood out of its limitation and right away out of it. And so he saw two women coming with wings and taking that ephah and lifting it up and carrying it away and putting where it needs to belong to, namely to Babylon, and just left it there. So here again, man is not shown as a mortal anymore, as a thief and robber, and as a mortal liar. Is no more shown as that which is bottled up in any limited sense of being, but as the true idea of everything. That idea of truth which just comes to every error and just has the power over it. And then he goes to love. And he turned and he saw four chariots. See, always the symbols are either the seven or the four. He's a very he just wants to depict that what constitutes man is the seven and the four, the calculus. What constitutes a true physicist is his knowledge of physics. What constitutes a true sociologist is his consciousness of sociology, you see. It's always the consciousness of the subject. Well, that which constitutes the true man is the consciousness of the divine calculus. That's all there is about man. See, we have one big education where we have to become consciously conscious that man is not a two-legged being, but consciousness. It's difficult to give birth to that, because constantly from morning to night we are mesmerized by saying this person and that person and thinking of a two-legged being. So, but little by little, by pondering and pondering and so, we begin to make more and more nothing out of the mortal. And more we look at consciousness and rely on consciousness. So here he shows that consciousness as four chariots, which are the four spirits in the heaven, and they go to all the corners of the world. And then he asks them to take all the silver and all the gold who have been returned from the captivity and make a crown, and to put that crown upon Joshua's head. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne. He begins to give a picture in many, many verses just to show that man is really the crown of creation. That man is the crown of creation. And that only is man which is made, which is crowned with the silver and gold. Only with that which is good in human experience. He said, take that back from Babylon. Take that back out of all your human experience which we have gone through. Leave everything behind except the gold and the silver of the experience. Because only that is from God and is the reality of man, and that's the crown of creation. And so gives that saying and the conclusion, and this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And so he ends the word sense of this prophecy. The details are wonderful. Each one of us has the ability to ponder each of these symbols and get much more out of it than what I was trying to say. But what is necessary, let's just see what he tries to impose on us, you see. That Zechariah wants to impose on us that the Christ, that angel, is constantly coming to us. He's constantly coming to us and says, I'm not going to give you any peace until your material consciousness, your material way of looking at things, your human calculations about you and the universe is going to yield. It's going to be transformed to the point where the divine, infinite calculus is being established in you. And the Christ says, I have the power to do that. See, he does not just show what this calculus is. He does not just show that the calculus is the seven and the four. Behind it, we must see, you see, if we would see, that's nice to think about it, that the calculus is the seven and the four, and we need to think about it and to ponder it and so on. But that's one thing. But here, the question is answered, which may rise up in us again and again, which says, yes, I see that, I see the seven, and I see the four, and I think it's marvelous, and so on. But is it living in me? Is it that consciousness which I have, which is my concrete being? And then we must say, oh no, I'm not yet there, I just begin to see it. I just can visualize it at the moment. So the prophets will help us to bring to birth this consciousness. And the prophets will bring to birth it by saying, you see, if you are conscious of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love, and see that they have a Christ, and that they are constantly at work and at work and at work to bring out the Word in our consciousness, then we are going with the Christ, and then the Christ finds no resistance in us, and then the Christ does transform everything within us, so that finally we see, oh yes, I am it. I have the crown, and those who diligently obey it, to them it will, or what was the saying, and this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.